You're listening to Maneuvering Mondays, a podcast about transforming work culture. In this first part of the episode, we follow the fictional story of Marie, who's an HR manager in the edtech company Zebra Apps, as she maneuvers the challenges of transforming their work culture.
It was the 30th of March, and Marie was pouring herself a cup of coffee in the kitchenette while Jason was waiting for her in the conference room. The conference room was in the reception area where they usually met with clients and external guests. It was quiet there during the late afternoon. Even the receptionist had gone home for the day. Jason had asked Marie if she had a minute during lunch. Holding her tray and about to sit down, Marie had suggested they talk while they ate. Jason blushed, took a couple of steps backwards towards the door, and said he had a deadline. When Marie returned to her desk, she saw an invite from Jason for a meeting marked private. Her 10 years in HR gave her a pretty good idea of what Jason had on his mind, especially so late in the month. The coffee machine finished sputtering out her latte. Marie brushed back her long brown hair and straightened up her glasses. She pulled down her skirt and took a deep breath. Then she picked up her coffee cup and headed towards the conference room. Entering coffee in hand, Marie sat across from Jason at the conference table. Jason was looking down and twisting his hands under the table. "It helps when you have something to stir," Marie said. "Are you sure you don't want to get a drink?" "No, let's get this over with," Jason said. "All right," said Marie. "What's on your mind?" She looked directly at him. "I have grown a lot here during the past 3 years," Jason started. "You took me in fresh from university. I remember gifting you socks to wear and your shoes your first week," Marie chuckled, trying to break the tension. "Yes." Jason paused and looked down. "I shop for my own full-length socks now," he said with a tentative smile. "But the past year I have not been happy," he continued, then paused. He took a breath and looked straight at Marie. "So I will be leaving for a new job." Marie felt her eyes moist up while she mentally ordered her cheeks to hold her smile. Jason livened up and kept talking. "It's down the street, actually, and I'll get to do more of the work that I have enjoyed doing here." Marie's smile faded as she suddenly realized what was down the street. "You are leaving for the defense contractor?" she exclaimed. Jason nodded softly. She couldn't hold back her surprise. "But Jason, you are a pacifist," she said loudly, failing to reel back her emotions. "We have sent you to so many conferences to talk about the ethics of designing apps for children. Now you are going to design apps for war?" Marie caught herself and looked down at her hands laying flat on the table, all fingers separated. There was a pause. "In a way," Jason started, "conscript soldiers are also children." Marie looked up at Jason, raising an eyebrow in disbelief. "What if I could bring my ethics perspective to war applications?" Jason continued. Marie managed to hold herself together for the remainder of the conversation with Jason. They remembered more stories from their time together and hugged when they parted ways. As Jason exited the conference room to go home, Marie went straight to her office and closed the door. She sunk into the armchair in her office and remembered that her coffee mug was still on the conference room table, lukewarm and probably leaving a ring. "Fuck," she exclaimed in a half whisper. "Fuck, fuck, fuck," she shouted at full volume. It was not Jason leaving specifically, even though Marie couldn't get her mind off what seemed like gaps in his reasoning. Ethical warfare design? Soldiers as kids? It felt like baloney. She couldn't shake the inkling of a thought that she didn't dare think to the end. Jason Wells, a 27-year-old UX designer, passionate about ethical UI design for children, was so miserable at Zebra Apps that he would compromise one of his core beliefs to join a company he had morally sworn off. What bothered her the most was that this was the fourth resignation this March and that there was one more day of the month awaiting. Of a company of 300 people, four people leaving in any given month was a lot. February had cost them seven people and January five. Jason was still relatively new in the company, but the others leaving were core employees, people who have built the company and the products for what they are today, people that have stuck it out in good times and bad. And what puzzled her was that times were good for Zebra Apps. They had been growing in two digits in both revenue and number of employees. They had just secured a big implementation in Germany and were laying the groundwork for building out an office in Dresden. They were hitting all the KPIs and had given out generous bonuses to all employees at the end of the year. Marie's train of thought was interrupted by her phone ringing. Looking down on the display, she immediately swiped to pick up. It was her boss's boss, the CEO of Zebra Apps, Natalie Jensen. "Hi, Natalie," Marie said. There was some rattling on the other end of the line. "Hello?" repeated Marie. "Ah, yes. Hi, Marie," said Natalie. The rattling continued. Finally, the rattling stopped and Natalie said, "Mark called earlier and said that we have had three resignations this month." Mark was the VP of HR. "Actually, it is four now," Marie sighed. "Four?" Natalie repeated, elevating her voice. "Yes, I just spoke to Jason Wells. He is leaving too," Marie said. "That is unfortunate," Natalie sighed. "He was supposed to give a keynote next month at that private school in Berlin." "That's right," Marie gasped, suddenly remembering how much effort it had taken to insert themselves in the EdTech conference. During that time, she was often surprised when opening the door to her office and finding people sitting in her armchair. They would complain about the pressure they were under to get it done, even though the keynote speakers were picked by the conference committee. The rattling started again, and Marie stared at her phone for clues what this sound was. Wrapping paper? Parchment paper? Bubble wrap? It stopped. "I am curious what your take is on why people are fleeing the ship like rats off a sinking ship," Natalie said with a grin, finally. Marie went quiet. Natalie had a dark sense of humor. The rattling continued on the other end. "I can't quite understand it, but people I would never have imagined leaving are making some unexpected employment choices," Marie finally said, speaking over the noise. "Take Jason," Marie continued. "He is going to work for the defense contractor down the road." Natalie laughed out loud, and the rattling stopped. "Guess he's going to have to change his Twitter handle," Natalie thundered, more playful than angry. Marie smiled to herself. "That is true. His handle was pacifist_Jason. It is weird that he would make that change. It feels to me like he is trying to get away from us more than he is interested in this opportunity," Marie said. "Sounds like our employees are not thriving," Natalie said in a serious tone. "Yes, I guess you are right," Marie nodded. "Then that is an HR issue," Natalie said. "All yours to fix," Natalie concluded, and the rattling began anew. Marie suddenly understood where Natalie was going with this, her eyes widening. "Wait," Marie said. "Aren't you the director of development HR?" Natalie asked rhetorically. "Aren't you responsible for developing us to be a good place to work?"
"Well, yes," Marie hesitated.
"Then this is your time to shine. I would like a strategy from you on how you plan to fix it by Wednesday."
"All right," Marie said slowly. "And if anyone else quits, just tell them no."
Natalie laughed and hung up. Marie stared at her phone in disbelief. Was this suddenly her fault? Her responsibility? After a couple of minutes, Marie started to feel a seed of hope rise in her stomach. She looked up. If this was hers to fix, maybe it was fixable. What if she could reverse the flow of resignations? She stood up. What if they could be a place where people wanted to work? After all, she had a PhD in organizational design.
She had worked as a consultant in BCG prior to joining Zebra and had done her fair share of organizational transformations. If anyone in Zebra was qualified to address the retention issue, maybe it was her. Marie packed up her bag and headed home. Wednesday was a week away, and for the first time in months, she left the office with hope and a sense of mission. Holding her daughter's hand while she was nodding off that night, Marie stared intensely into the nightlight above her daughter's bed. Shaped like a chick, it inspired Marie to lay a plan of action. The plan was simple. She would find out why people are leaving. She would benchmark the employment terms of Zebra apps against similar companies, and she would analyze the data to determine the underlying factors that differentiated them from the competition. The conclusions would sum up neatly on 3 to 5 PowerPoint slides, convincing Mark and Natalie to support her proposed courses of action. Before going to bed herself, she canceled and rescheduled all her meetings for the next day to get a head start. Arriving at the office the next morning, Marie was the first to deactivate the alarm. She stopped by the conference room where she had met with Jason the day before and picked up her coffee cup from the conference table. She put it in the sink in the kitchenette, picked up a clean cloth from a drawer, and ran it under the tap. She turned around to head back to the conference room to wash the ring off from the table. As she turned around, she was startled to find Simon standing in the kitchenette behind her. "Ah!" she exclaimed, as she gently bent forwards and held her heart with the same hand that was holding the wet cloth. "Sorry," Simon said. "You're here early," Marie said, brushing her now wet shirt with her other hand to no avail. "I was hoping you were in," Simon said, "but you were not in your office." "No," Marie said, looking at the cloth in her hand. "I had something I wanted to take care of first." "Can we talk?" Simon said. "Sure," Marie said, turning around to put the cloth down near the sink. "We can go in here," Simon said, pointing to the same conference room where Marie had met with Jason. As they sat down in the conference room, Marie tried to ignore the ring on the table made by her cup. She sat next to it, sitting diagonally across from Simon. He adjusted his chair to face her. "I am resigning," he said, while Marie was adjusting her own chair to face him. "What did you say?" Marie asked, while her head caught up with Simon's statement. "I am resigning," he repeated, with a smile on his face. "All right," Marie said, trying to mask the annoyance in her voice. Simon's smile contracted. "That's it?" he asked. "I'm sorry. What?" she asked. "That's your reaction? All right?" Simon did air quotes with his hands. "You are resigning," Marie said. "Yes," Simon said, his smile returning. Marie remembered her plan from last night and decided to dig in. "Where are you heading?" Marie asked, now sounding patient. "Nowhere," Simon said, still smiling. Marie waited for him to say more. He looked straight in her eyes, but did not move a muscle. "Are you planning on taking some time off?" Marie asked, knowing that she was walking straight into his trap. "No, I am not taking time off," Simon said, making air quotes again, this time with his arms stretched above his head. Simon was a hardware engineer and had been an integral part of creating their data center. He was not known for being likable, but was popular with the other engineers for having no filter with management and for bringing homemade mead to office parties. "Help me understand," Marie said. "Educate me." Simon's smile widened, and he leaned back in his chair with his hands intertwined behind his neck. "Marie, Marie, Marie," he said, "you have no idea what is going on, do you?" "I bet you can tell me," Marie said, biting her tongue to not bite at him. "I bet you, of all people, know." The next hour and a half, Simon spoke almost uninterrupted, gesturing into the empty space above the conference table. Marie had not brought a notebook with her to the meeting, so as soon as Simon got up to leave, Marie hurried to her office to write down notes. Marie slapped down her notebook on her desk and sat down. Opening to an empty page, she picked up a pen. Where should she start? Simon spoke about the incompetence of the management, of the type of wiring in their data center, of how no one understood the value of interests outside of work. What kept going through her head, though, was the very first thing he had said. She wrote down, You have no idea what is going on. She leaned back in her chair and pushed herself away from the desk. Could she believe anything he had said? He was admired by the engineers, but everyone else hated working with him. One of the business analysts worked with him to create a business case to sell off the spare capacity in the data center. When the deadline for the proposal was approaching, Marie had found the business analyst crying in the bathroom. Simon had given the business analyst mutually exclusive information and kept changing the parameters of the case. Marie had made sure that the proposal disappeared from the management agenda. So far, no one had remembered it. The thought made Marie smile, and she shook her head. Marie turned to the page in the notebook and picked up her phone. She called up Jason. He picked up right away. "Hi, Jason. This is Marie." "Hello?" Jason said, a bit confused. "I have a couple of follow-up questions from our conversation yesterday," Marie said. "Okay," Jason said. "Would you say that your current salary is a major reason for you leaving?" Marie asked. Jason was quiet. "No," he said finally. "Surely you will be making more in your new job?" Marie asked, surprised. "No," Jason said. "I will be making less." Now Marie was quiet and suddenly remembered the coffee stain on the conference table. "Will you have better benefits, like time off, free lunch, newer equipment, parking?" Jason cut in. "They have free soda." "Free soda?" Marie repeated. "Yes," Jason said. "Otherwise, it is the same package." "So," Marie started, but had to take an extra inhale. "You are taking a pay cut, get more or less of the same perks, except for free soda," she concluded. "Look," Jason started. "I don't want to get in trouble here," he said. "No, no," Marie assured him. "But I don't care about the perks," he said. "I care that I feel happy when I wake up in the morning." "Of course," Marie interjected, but Jason kept going. "I care that people notice me, that my work counts, that my opinion matters." Jason stopped talking, but it seemed like he had more to say. "Go on," Marie encouraged. "We used to be a place like that," he said. "What changed?" Marie asked. "I don't want to go into details here. Is this conversation required?" "No, I'm just trying to understand," Marie said. "I think you should speak to Anne," Jason said. They said their goodbyes and hung up. Marie looked at her notebook, picked up her pen and wrote, "Jason, free soda, otherwise same package. Pay cut. Did not feel noticed, valued, work didn't count." Work didn't count? She couldn't believe it. He worked with what mattered most to him. At least it had seemed that way. He advocated that they employ UX principles carefully when developing apps for children, that they were responsible to make sure that the design was engaging, but not manipulative. Once again, something didn't add up with Jason. She did not want to call Anne, so she wrote her name in the notebook and drew a box around it. She looked at the page. Then she boldened the sides of the box with her pen. She turned the page. On the next page, there was now a box-shaped furrow. She picked up her phone and browsed through her LinkedIn connections. Todd would be a good place to start, she thought. Todd was the VP of HR in Convo Systems, a software development company that in the last 3 years started betting heavily on mobile apps. That was around the same time that Zebra Apps started building their data center, leading the two companies to compete fiercely for both app developers and hardware engineers. In fact, tomorrow Marie would be greeting a new colleague joining Zebra from Convo Systems. "Hey, Marie," Todd said. "There is no sneaking up on you," Marie joked. Todd had clearly saved her number in his contacts. "I need to keep my eye on you," he said, "stealing away my employees." They both laughed. "Seems like the market is pretty fluid right now," Marie said. "People are changing jobs like crazy." "To be honest, Shane is the first person to leave us this year," Todd said. "You've broken our perfect record." "Sorry about that," Marie said. "I can't blame him," Todd said. "I heard that he is getting a big salary bump." "About that," Marie started. "I wanted to compare our standard offerings to our peers," Todd cut in. "About time! You must be swimming in subscription fees over there with the offers you throw at my people. You're going to force us offshore." With that, they went over the standard packages they were offering to different kind of employee profiles. She then called three other HR colleagues in companies similar to Zebra Apps. The fourth name Marie had her eyes on from her LinkedIn contacts didn't respond, so she followed up with an email. Mark walked into Marie's office as she was closing off the last call. He was about to step out, but she waved him in and pointed him to the armchair. He ran his hand through his dark blonde hair and pulled up the pant legs of his dark gray tailored suit as he sat down. He stretched his legs, almost reaching Marie's feet from across the room. She hung up and scribbled a note in her notebook before looking up. "Mark," she said, about to tell him her findings. "Simon too, eh?" Mark said. "What a joke." "Joke?" she asked, losing her train of thought. "Now we don't have to fire that joker," he said, puffing his chest. "To my knowledge, no one was planning on firing him," Marie said. "Hardware engineers are hard to find." Mark showed his white teeth, displeased with Marie's comments. "Well, you know," he started. "What do I know?" Marie said, losing all patience. "You shouldn't be having these conversations," Mark said, his face now stern. Marie looked at him with her eyebrows raised. "People should be coming straight to their line manager," Mark went on. "What do you propose I do, Mark? Send them away?" Marie said through her teeth. "Send them to me," Mark said. "I'm the head of HR." Marie lowered her eyebrows and pushed her chin forward. "Your office is right next to mine," Marie gestured. "Nothing is stopping people from opening your door." "You are nice, so people prefer coming to you," Mark said. Marie did not merit that with a response. She looked straight at Mark's face. After a pause, he continued. "It's not even your job to listen to people quitting." "Natalie just told me it is my job to fix that people are quitting," Marie said. Mark closed his mouth and pulled his neck backwards. "She said that, huh?" he said. "Well..." He got up and went straight out the door, striking his hip on the doorframe, but not stopping to acknowledge the pain. Marie picked up her notebook and pointed it at the door, as if to signal to the air left behind by Mark's departure that she had something she wanted to tell him. She put the notebook down and rubbed her forehead with her hand. Her hand smelled like a stale washcloth. Her mouth pointed downward in disgust as she looked at her hand. She got up to go to the bathroom to wash the smell off. Looking at herself in the bathroom mirror, she thought about Mark. Their relationship had not always been so strained. He was the one who hired her, and was one of the reasons she joined Zebra Apps. They met in a professional network. She reached out to him after he gave a keynote about empowering specialists to deliver great results. She couldn't put a finger on the exact moment she stopped trusting him. Only after several years did she start noticing that even though he spoke of delegation and empowerment, he failed to make the hard choices to protect those principles. He acted as Natalie's spokesperson, but it was a one-way street. When employees brought concerns to him, he did not pass them on to Natalie. No wonder his door was not the one people went through when they were quitting. Marie grabbed the sink with both hands. "Wait a minute," she thought. Employees were picking her door not only because they expected her to listen, but because they expected her to act on what she heard. They were not disgruntled, they were out of options. But they wanted the problems fixed. She pulled out a paper towel from the dispenser, dried her hands, and went back to her office. She picked up her phone from her desk, walked across the room, and put it down on the round coffee table next to her armchair. She walked back to her desk and went through the pockets of her blazer that she had hung on the back of her office chair. She found her earbuds and carried the case to the coffee table. She stood still for a moment and looked at her arrangement. Then she picked up her notebook and pen from the desk and finally settled into the armchair. She connected the earbuds to her phone and placed them in her ears. Then she stared at her address book on the phone. Anne Kelly, the first name on her list. The last person she wanted to call. It was ringing. One ring, two rings, three rings, four rings. After seven rings, Marie hung up. Maybe Anne did not want to talk to her either. She sat for a moment holding her phone with both hands, leaning over her knees. Then she took her earbuds out and placed them on the coffee table. She decided to start writing up the presentation for her boss, Mark, and Natalie, the CEO. When she opened her laptop, the fourth HR contact had responded to her email, offering up their benchmarking data. Now she had a complete overview of the offers from their key talent competitors. When the competition for technical specialists was so fierce, there was a sense of camaraderie between the recruiters. No one company could attract all the specialists necessary, so they often worked together to lobby for more technical studies being offered at university and for lowering the barriers for bringing in technical specialists from abroad. From her contacts, she had learned that Zebra Apps was paying slightly above the market rates for software specialists, quite a bit above the rate for hardware specialists, and average for other functions. Marie smiled at this thought. Now her colleagues knew what Zebra Apps was offering, so the numbers might change in the following months. But this was a clear indication that money was not the reason people were leaving. When asking her colleagues about other benefits, they were all offering similar packages. Employee lunches, free parking, pension schemes, healthcare benefits, flexible working arrangements, high-end equipment, well-designed office, snacks. Three of the five companies she spoke to also offered free and unlimited soda. Marie smiled, remembering that Jason had brought the free soda up as a differentiating factor while accepting a pay cut. It can't be the soda, she thought to herself. Marie put her notes together into three slides, one showing the number of employees leaving each month for the past year, another slide showing the comparison of pay for different types of roles relative to their competitors. The final slide showed the comparison of perks offered, highlighting the soda disparity with a yellow highlighter. This made Marie smile to herself. She looked at her watch and saw that the canteen was about to close. She rushed out of her office, leaving her phone on her desk.
You're listening to Maneuvering Mondays, a podcast about transforming work culture. Tune in when we invite guests to comment on this part of Marie's journey. Thanks to Tiffany Lam, our wonderful speaker of the audiobook about Marie from Zebra Apps. What are your thoughts on Marie's situation? Have you had a similar experience? And what would you have done? Join the conversation on our LinkedIn page and let's maneuver Mondays together.